Okay, good morning, Rabosai. So we're going to continue here in this agadita. Not an easy task. So we're on that.
It's a challenge.
Yeah, we're a big, real challenge. Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, and I think we'll start with Amar Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina. No, maybe we'll even go back a little bit to Amar Rabbi Avvo. So the first word in the line is Avvohu, if that helps anybody. And it's approximately 2/3 of the way down the Amud. Okay. And Rabbi Avvo is
place is marked off here.
So oh, good, good, very good. So he's darshaning a pasuk in Tzfanya Novi. We started this yesterday, and the pasuk ends with two words: the Akron Teoker. So Akron is apparently a name of a city. We've been dealing with the names of cities, and the Gemara assumes, Rabbi Avvo assumes, that Akron, or maybe Akron, is actually a nickname. That's not the original name of the city. The real name of the city is Zo Kesari Bas Edom. Now, Kesari was also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the capital of Edom at some point, of the Roman Empire. So you'll have to check that out in your history books. And the original name of the city, perhaps the real name of the city, is Kesari Bas Edom. Now there's a Tosa Rush on this sugya. He has a problem because this pasuk in Tzfanya apparently lists this city of Ekron as Ari Plishtim, whereas the Gemara says it's Me'ari Edom. By identifying this city as Kesari Bas Edom, it means it's part of the Edomite kingdom, which would mean the Roman kingdom, not the Plishtim.
Right.
So in the Ein Yaakov, which is the super commentary on Agadita, there's a Tosfos. We don't have it on our page. And he says that he thinks that at some point in time, the Plishtim were conquered by the Edomites. So that even though in the Pasuk it might be listed earlier in history as one of the cities of Plishtim, but nevertheless, we can identify it as going into the future, so to speak, projecting at the time which the Romans would conquer the Plishtim, that this is Kesari Bas Edom. And now,
if I'm not mistaken, there is a little town near a Chovot called Ekron.
Right.
Yeah. So it could be. I don't know. It's possible, although.
That would be in the Eretz
Right. 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 Yeah. But the problem is that Rabbi Avvo is identifying it as Kesari, which is certainly not.
Not in the right area.
Yeah, not in the right area. Anyway, Rabbi Avvo goes on to tell us that this city was situated apparently in the water. It was like an island, a landmass that sort of lifted up above the sea level, and that's called Hiyosheves Bein HaCholos. So she sits amongst the sand, because the sand on the outside of this city is the sand of the, you know, of the water, like the water, so to speak, pushes the waves, push the sand up on the shore. And what can we tell about this city? Now, a lot of the Agadot that we're going to learn is going to be about the city of Kesari and the Roman Empire as the adversary of the Jewish people. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. But right now, what we know now, already at the beginning of this sugya, he yosheves yasei tkul Yisrael bimei Yevanim, that she does evil to the Jewish people. So in a certain sense, if this city could speak, if it had a personality, it would say, we are very happy if we can bring about the downfall of the people of Israel. However,
Steinsaltz's note has that Qusar was a capital in Israel, starting with the year 6th for their count.
The common era, or whatever you want.
The common era. Yeah.
Okay, so that was the Roman capital,
yeah.
And that was Caesarea. And that was the antithesis of Yerushalayim, of our Yerushalayim. Now the Ibn Ezra he quotes here in Eicha claims that Edom was originally under the dominion of Yehuda, and then when Yehuda fell, Edom was very happy. And that's how he explains a pasuk in Breishis Chav Zayin and a pasuk in Tehillim, because it says in Tehillim, Zachar Hashem Livnei Edom is Yom Yerushalayim, that the Edomites turned to the Bavliim and they said, Oru Oru Al Yisodba, you know, destroy Yerushalayim. So this is the archenemy of the Jewish people, and the location on the face of the earth is Caesarea. However, Kishagavra Malchus Beis Chashmonoi V'Nitzchum HaYikorin Osa, it took on a different name after the Chashmonoim defeated this city, and it's called Achidas Migdal Shir. I think what this phrase means is that once the city was destroyed at that particular point in history, as a result of the Chashmonoi, then it in that desolation it became occupied by Shadim, because Shadim occupy, you know, desolate, what we call Churva. The Shadim are always in control of the Churva. So that's what this Achidas Migdal Shir. Migdal Shir is some sort of a shade or a group of Shadim that control this area. Om Rab Yossi Barab Chanino Mai Dechsiv. Now we're studying the Nevuah of Zechariah with regard to Sar. Let me just see if I have the Pasuk here. Right now I don't have the Pasuk. Oh, here it is. Vasirosi Domov. Now this whole prophecy is going to be, and here we're going to mention again that city of Ekron, which we identified as Caesarea. This prophecy is foretelling what's going to happen at the end of days with all the, not only the Edomites, but more important in this context, the places of worship of the Edomites. And not only that, will these people that belong to the nations of the world finally recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says the following, Maidachsiv, what does Zechariah mean when he says about Sur, which is, I guess, the main city in Edom, Vasirosi Domov Mipiv, Vishikutsov Mibain Shinov. So we have here both the mouth and the teeth, and something is going to be removed. Two things are going to be removed, one from the Piv and one from the Shinov. From the Piv will be removed Domov, and from the Shinov will be removed Shikutsov. So what's Domov and what's Shikutsov, and what is this Nevuah foretelling? Now the Pasuk goes on and says, V'nishar gam hu lelokeinu, that even he, and we're talking about Edom, will be left accepting our God, the one God. And then it says, V'haya kaluf Yehuda of the Ekron Kievusi, which we'll get to a little bit later on. So he says the following, Vasirosi Dom of Mipiv. The first part of the Pasuk is foretelling the mouth of Esav. And what's the Dom of that's going to be removed from the mouth of Esav? Zeb Beis Bamaya Shalahem. Okay, this is Beis Bamaya. Beis Bamaya is some sort of a temple of idolatry. And Bamaya is a shame chashivus. They gave it, the idol worshippers gave it a shame of chashivus, like it's a bima. Bima means like a stage. And what did they do over there in this base Bamaya? Hayuzarkim sham dam zivcheihem. That was the place where they after they slaughtered all their animals or whatever they slaughtered for the idols, they would throw the dam into this place called Beis Pamaya. And Vasirosi Dama Mipiv, and God says, I will bring an end to this. This will be a termination of that entire thing. Now, the second part of the pasuk says, Shikutzav Mibein Shinov, and this is a reference to Beis Galya Shalem. Again, a name of Avodah Zorah, which is apparently a name of Chashivus. And the Navi is saying that they will no longer, in the future, they will no longer call these places by those names because they will be destroyed. And once they'll be destroyed, Ya'abit Shmam, the name of this place will no longer be Mipiv, who we've been Shinov. So Beis Bamya and Beis Galya will be two of these idolatrous centers that will be completely destroyed. They'll be removed from the mouth. Nobody's going to talk about them anymore. And removed from the teeth. And this is all a fulfillment of the prophecy in Dvarim Perikid Beis Vibaditem Eshmam. Now, Ibaditem Eshmam is not just a prophecy, it's actually a mandate that we have to destroy these places. So that when we at the end of days will conquer Edom, we will destroy these idolatrous places. Now, I don't know what's going to be with the mosques, because a mosque is possibly is not Avodah Zarah. In any event, the Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah says, "Hayu korin osa beis galya." They call this idolatrous worship beis galya. Galya means gova, means something very high. And korin osa beis karya. And in the future, they will call it beis karya. Karya means some place that's very low. So this is going to be the ultimate conquest of Avodah Zarah at the end of time. And v'nishar gam hu lelokeinu. Now, what does that mean? Oh, this is very fascinating. We're talking about Edom. Now, Edom technically might be Rome, might be Italy. Maybe it expands to other countries of Europe. And the Jewish people, during their long exile, will enter into these areas, and they will establish houses of worship and houses of study. Elu bate kinesios ubate midrashos shebanu Yisrael begolusam beEdom. That while they're in Edom in Golus, they'll build these houses of worship and study. And these are what give the people of Israel their power to remain committed to their beliefs even in the exile. And that's based on a principle called Ein Lanu Shir Ela HaTorah Zos, that all we're left with in Golus is Torah. So the study of Torah is what's going to keep us going. And V'nishar Gam Hu Le'elokeinu, and these will remain loyal to Hashem. And the pasuk goes on to say V'hoya Ke'eluf or Kaluf B'Yehuda, that those Goyim that are left and survive this whole desecration of the Goyim will be dedicated to Avodas Hashem. And I have a note here in the name of the Mitzvah is David, who comments on this pasuk in Zechariah, and he says that Kol HaPlishtim Bechlola, included in this prophecy are all the plishtim, v'tiye ke'ish. They'll all be like one undivided person, lomed ha-Torah, and they'll study the Torah, sher b'Yehuda, ki gam hem yilmedu Torah. So this is an amazing thing. Now, when it says they will learn Torah, I want to make the following two comments. First of all, I think that the Torah that they'll study is the Torah of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. They're not obligated to study the rest of the Torah. And secondly, I would like to make the following comment, that I don't think we're necessarily saying that their temples to the idols will be converted and transformed into Batei Knesiyos and Batei Midrashos. I don't think so. Although there is such a possibility that you could convert it to a synagogue, but what you need then is bittul. So maybe the Goyim, when they realize that God is one, at the end of time, they'll do bittul on these makomos of Avodah Zarah. That's not clear to me. It just says Kaluf bi Yehuda, which means like Kemuvchar shel Yehuda, they'll be dedicated to Avodas Hashem. And now we get back to Ekron. Ekron was the city that was the central city of the Roman Empire, as we said before, was Kesari, Kievusi. It'll become a base Talmud. It'll become a place that's dedicated to the study of Torah, just like Yerushalayim is a base Talmud. Yevus is the area of Israel where Yerushalayim is situated. The Yevusi, you know, there were seven nations that occupied Eretz Yisrael. One of them was the Yevusi, and they occupied the area that was Yerushalayim at the time of David HaMelech. And they were subjugated to David HaMelech. They paid mas, they paid a tax. And then this pasuk is saying that just like this area of Yevusi will pay taxes and will be subjugated and will be subject to the Jewish rule, so too Ekron will also be like them, like the people of the area of Yerushalayim will be a base Talmud. And it's referring to Elutei Tishrios and Kirkasios Sheba Edom. You know, Rome is famous for its theatrics. You know, their what's it called in Rome? The Colosseum. Have you ever heard of it? You know, these are the places where they had public races and all their different sports and so forth and so on. And Kirkasios are pubs, what we call today, meaning places where they drink wine and so forth and so on. And these places in Edom, which in the past were dedicated as part of their idolatrous pagan culture, they will be Asidim Sari Yehuda Lalamid Bahem Torah Barabim. Again, it doesn't say anywhere that the Beis Bamyo or the Beis Galia will be a synagogue or a house of study for teaching Torah. It says that the Teatritos and Kirkasios, those are places where they didn't actually worship idols. This was not a house of worship, and they will be converted into places for the study of Torah, to teach Torah Barabim. And we've discussed in the past that Talmud Torah Barabim is a separate category unto itself.
Steinzos here tells you what the Teatriot are.
Does he quote the Tosas?
No.
So give me one second. Let's just do the Tosas before. You know, I love Steinzos, but I want to do Tosas first.
Okay.
Yesh Mefarshim, there are those who say that what are these Terat Trios is Bate Avodas Kochavim. So I tried to avoid that shot because, again, I didn't want to assume that there was Bittul. He says, Umachana Osam Teatakos Lashon Cherpa. So it's a kind of a pejorative term. And what's Kirkasos? What's a Lomer Beis Hakise? Wow, these are public bathhouse. The Kosha Lomar. So he says because of the tinuf, it's a filthy place, a dirty place. Yeah. I wanted to say because it's an avodah zarah and you can't go in there. He adds a prayer here that they should become desolate as soon as possible. Batim shemis asvim lehem. Levad shell of the Avodah Zarah. It wasn't a place where they actually worshipped Avodah Zarah, but it was a communal place where they had committees of idolatrous people, and they made decisions. But they didn't. It wasn't the house of worship. Okay, now I'm ready for
his comment on Jethro's is
could be they were courthouses also. It's possible. Ah, see, he says it was like the Colosseum.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a place for public sport.
Kirkasiot is makom shebo mekaymim mizrakei taharut shonim.
Right. Competitive sports.
It's nothing to do with Avodah Zarah.
Right. Everyone seems to be avoiding that it's...
Yeah.
It's not a filthy place. It's not an Avodah Zarah house of worship. Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, from here on in, we're going to have a whole string of statements of Rabbi Yitzchak. I'm not sure if they're related one to the other, other than for the same author. And now he's talking about a city named Leshem. That's what we're interested in, cities here. Now, the name Leshem.
Have that in Shomra.
Oh, there's a place called Leshem. So it could be that that's in Shevet Dan, because it seems like the at the time of Yoshua, the Bnei Dan conquered the area, the city called Leshem. And we mentioned yesterday that that every Shevet would have to conquer that part of the land of Israel where they would settle. So it could be that this was Shevet Dan. So if there's a place called Leshem...
Well, that's Rashi's comment.
Right. But I don't have Rashi verbatim. I have a summary of Rashi here. It's everything that he says here is from Rashi. Anyway, so it seems that this city was conquered by Bnei Dan at the time of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. And let's go back to Sefer Yoshua in Perek Yutes, and Sefer Yoshua it says Vayilochmu Am Leshem, Im Leshem. I'm sorry, they fought a battle against Leshem. Vayikaru Leshem Don, and they called it Aleshem Don. Now, if even though in Yoshua the city is called Leshem, but that's not its original name. And Rabbi Yitzchak wants to identify its original name. Zupamyos. Now, what's Pamyos? Pamyos is the source of the Jordan River. That's what he says here. That Yarden Yotze mi Ma'oras Pamyos. So the Jordan flowed from every water, flowing water has a source. And it was also called Yarden because she Yorad Midon. Interesting. The next time you're at the Yarden, keep in mind that this came down from a place, and the source of the Yarden was in Shevet Dan. Well, now we get to Ekron Teoker. That's the original Pasuk in Zechariah that we were darshaning before. That was Rabbi Avo. Now it's Rabbi Yitzchak. Zokesari Bas Edom. Okay, that we had before in Rabbi Avo. What does Rabbi Yitzchak add? Shehi Haisa Metropolin Shel Molochim. Okay, now what does the word metropolin mean? So Rashi explains that the word metropolin is a Greek word, and it's made up of two smaller words that are combined. It's metra and polin. Metra, Rashi says, in Greek, is an aim, a mother, and polin is srara. Srara means when you have leadership or when you hold certain positions of power. So when you combine these two words, metropolin, it means the mother of power, the mother of Malchus. So this is what Leshem is all about. It's the mother of Malchus. Now, which Molochim are actually raised, so to speak, by this mother, you know, in this area? So right now we don't know. Maybe as we go along we'll figure it out. But in any event, there are two different versions here, exactly what this city was responsible for, what it accomplished in terms of raising Molochim. Ika, the Amrisam say that the Marbi be Molochim. Marbi here in Hebrew is Megadlim, that they grow, the princes sort of mature over there, they get experience, and that's where they be, you know, they're ready to become kings. Ika, the Amri, according to the second version, what does it mean when we say Imam Shel Molochim? It means the Mokmi Mina Malchi. That's the city where they used to appoint the kings. It was like a capital city, and that's where the whole Minui would take place. In other words, that's not where they actually matured or prepared the princes to become kings and educated them and guided them. No, this is a place where they actually appointed kings. And we said before that Kesari, which is called Ekron, Ekron, is called Metropolin Shel Molochim. So in Caesari, in Caesar, that's where they appointed the Caesars, right? The various kings of the Roman Empire. Another statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, Caesari v'Yushalayim. Now here we have a comparison, what we call compare and contrast between the capital of the Roman Empire and the capital of the Jewish Empire, La'avdil, two cities. Im yomer l'cha adam shecharvu shteyem al tamin. If somebody will claim they both were destroyed and they're desolate, don't believe them. If he says to you, yashvu shteyem, they're both settled and they're beautiful, al tamin, don't believe that either. But if he tells you one of the following two scenarios, either Charva Kesari v'Yashu Yushalayim or Charva Yushalayim v'Yashu Kesari, is Tamin Lo. You could either believe him that one of the two is Charev and the other is Yashav. It means that it's an inverse relationship. In other words, one goes up and one goes down. They cannot both be down, they cannot both be up. And the reason for this is because of the pasuk. This is a pasuk in Yecheskel HaNovi. I'm going to read the entire pasuk. It says, "Yan asher omro tsar al Yushalayim." So tsar is a city which is actually speaking in the feminine. Now, again, where the pesukim in Tanakh attribute like a being, an existing being and a personality to cities. And what does the city of tsar declare? Imola hacherava, which means that now that Yushalayim is desolate, then I will, Tzor says, I will fill up, I will be bountiful with the spoils, so to speak, of Yushalayim on the coattails of the destruction of Yushalayim. And the Mitzudas David there in Yecheskel adds a little bit of a clarification. He says that Tzor is saying about Yushalayim that me'atosh and nechrova Yushalayim, now that Yushalayim is destroyed and they're no longer marketplaces, Yushalayim is no longer a financial center, yavo aschoros, all the business is going to come a lie to me, vesmala ani mi'churbanah shel Yushalayim, so I'll be built on the destruction of Yushalayim. And now Rabbi Yitzchak darshins the pasuk in the following way, im milea zo, if one of these two cities is full, meaning it's developed, it's bountiful, and it's well settled, and it's in modern Hebrew they say misagseg, right? Is im milea zu charva zu, then the other one is destroyed. Milea zu charva zu. In other words, the churban of one of them depends upon the building of the other one, but they never could both be simultaneously together built up or destroyed. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, and he darshins that they cannot both exist together simultaneously, mehach, from a different pasuk, and this pasuk is in Chumash, and this pasuk, I'll tell you exactly where it is. Gracious Chaf Hey pasuk Chaf Gimel. I'll read the whole pasuk. Vayomer Hashem La. This we read last Shabbos, I think. Shnei goyim bevitnech u'shnei lumim imaychi pre ulaom milaom yematz ve'rav yavod sa'ir. So what is laom milaom yematz? Now, yematz means the power. And the power of one of them cannot be coexistent with the power of the other one. Either one is up and he's got the power, he's got the dominion, and the other is down, or vice versa, but they cannot both be up at the same time. And that's the contrast between Caesari and Yerushalayim. Now the Gemara quotes another statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, which I don't think has anything to do with the previous statements of Rabbi Yitzchak. Let's see if I'm right. V'yomer Rabbi Yitzchak, my dechsiv v'pasuk in Tehillim, Yuchan Rasha Bal Lomad Tzedek. And then the end of the pasuk says, Be'eretz Nechochos Ya'avel Bal Yireh Geus Hashem. Now, before we see exactly what Rabbi Yitzchak wants to say about this pasuk, I want to quote a pirush here called the Tzur Dvash. He wants to know what's bothering the Gemara here, and why does Rav Yitzchok feel compelled to interpret this pasuk? And he says, because the Gemara is bothered by the seifa, of this pasuk. And in the seifa of this pasuk, it says, "Bal yireh geus Hashem." And in the beginning of the pasuk, it says, "Yuchan." Yuchan sounds like a positive description, whereas Geus sounds like a negative description. So how do we reconcile this? Omer Rav Yitzchak Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Yitzchak, I'm sorry. Just one second. Yeah, I made a mistake. I got confused here. Omer Yitzchak. This is Rabbi Yitzchak talking about Yitzchak Avinu. Okay, yeah. And he's explaining that this pasuk in Tehillim is formulating a declaration or a petition of Yitzchak Avinu in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We know that all of Tehillim, or most of Tehillim at least, is made up of different personalities and different giants who are speaking. Here it's Yitzchak Avinu speaking. And he turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says the following, Yuchan Esav. He's asking the Ribbono Shel Olam to give Esav Yuchan. Yuchan, as we said before, is a positive description, meaning what we call a matnas chinam. Give him a gift which he doesn't really deserve. He's not roy l'kach. So, as the pasuk says, "Vayev Yitzchak es Esav." So Yitzchak, out of compassion for Esav, he turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and asks God to bestow upon Esav some sort of matnas chinam. Omelos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Rasha, who? Right, the post doesn't even mention Esav by name, it just calls him a Rasha. So why should I give him any sort of matnas chinam for a Rasha? Omelos, Yitzchak responds, and he says, Bal lamad sedek. Is it, this is like a rhetorical question that Yitzchak is asking the Ribbono Shel Olam, is it impossible to find some sort of schus? Maybe he was, worthy of kibud av va'em or some other redeeming feature. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, "Omar lo be eretz nechochos ya'avil." He's going to be down the line. He's going to be machriv Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash. And then the Marsha says, "Heishiv lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu." God responds to Yitzchak's plea, and he says, "Shachrovas Hamikdash Shalayim he mazid gomur." In other words, when you ask to find some schus, maybe you could, so to speak, ameliorate or mitigate his guilt and his criminal actions by saying he did it b'shoge. But certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to destroy Yerushalayim in the Beis Hamikdash b'mazid. And that's called Ya'avel. Ya'avel is something that's an avel that's done to Mazid, a terrible, terrible thing. Omer lo, so Yitzchak says to him, in Cain, if he's going to destroy Yerushalayim, Bal yireh geus Hashem. And remember that the Gemara, Rav Yitzchak was addressing this pasuk because there was like a stira between the Reisha and the Sefer. In the Reisha, the pasuk, it says, Yuchan Rasha. It sounds like a matnas chinam. In the Sefer, it says, Bal yireh geus Hashem. He should not see the glory of God, the greatness of God. And that's a reference to Olam Abba. And he says the following. This is Rashi, and also it's expanded and it's embellished by a sefer called Zos Minuchasi. So Yitzchak Tainet HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Esav lo lamad tzedek. Now he never was educated in the right way, and therefore he's a shogeg. Misha lamad divrei Torah v'ena makayim onsho chamur. Now, two people violated the Torah, but one learned and he didn't fulfill, the other didn't learn. So the first one will get a very severe punishment. But the one who didn't learn, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kevin is Gadel, the Eretz Nechochos, that the Eretz Nechochos is a reference to the house of Yitzchak and Rivka, and he should have learned from Yitzchak and Rivka, he should have imitated his parents. He can no longer claim ignorance and therefore I'm a shogeg, but rather he's amazing. So therefore, he doesn't deserve any shalva, any sort of comfort or calm in this world. And not only that, Lo Yirah Geus LaShem LiYosid Lavo, he shouldn't even be witness to the glory of God in the future. So it seems like at the end of this pasuk, Yitzchak actually acquiesces. You know, he backs off from his original prayer. He accepts the judgment of God, and Esav doesn't deserve any sort of chanina, any sort of matnas chino. The Omer of Yitzchak, another statement of Yitzchak. Again, ostensibly these are not connected one to the other, except by the name of the author. Ma'idichsiv, what does it mean? When it says it, again, a pasuk in Tehillim, it says Al titein Hashem ma'avaye rasha zmamo al tofek yorumu sela. So let me just translate the pasuk as is. Okay, and then we'll show that there are others who interpret it just the opposite way, but the way we're going to interpret it now is Tein lohem sheyu trudim beinom levein atzmam ad eis haketz. So when it says that they should be tarud, they should be so preoccupied in their own inner problems that that'll divert their attention from the hatred and the schemes that they want to plan against the Jewish people. Let them be so preoccupied with inner battles and inner challenges. You know, like we say about the Arabs today, that, you know, thank God that they have their own fights within, you know, one Arab country to the other. If they would unite, we'd be in trouble. So that's what David HaMelech is praying for. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak wants to say that David HaMelech here is actually formulating the prayer of Yaakov Avinu. And again, we'll get back to another possible interpretation of this Gemara in just a minute. But first, Omar Yaakov Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Al Titein Li Esav Harosh Etavas Libo Zomamo Al Tofek. So first of all, the beginning of the pasuk is Al Titein Hashem Ma'avei Rasha. In other words, the plans and the schemes, the desires, the agenda of the Rasha, don't allow him to fulfill and implement those agendas against the Jewish people. And then at the end of the pasuk, it says Zmamo Al Tofek. Now the word Zmamo is also a scheme or a plan. Now we're turning to Davav Amid Beis. Germamiyo Shel Edom. And this is a reference to Germamiyo. Now, Germamiyo is Amalek. I think it's the Vilna Gaon, if I'm not mistaken, who identifies this with the Germans. So what we're saying is that Zmamo Al Tofek here is a reference to Amalek, who's going to come from Esav, and don't allow their plans to materialize, to come to fruition. Shel mole hein yotzim machrivin kol olam kulo. And this is fascinating.
Edel's comment is Gemanya shel Edom, Gemanya hasimucha le'eretz Edom, as to Rome.
He doesn't identify as German, but I think if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this, the Gaon identifies it as German, the Vilna Gaon. Now, I told you that there's another way of interpreting this whole piece. And this is the Rosh Yosef, who's also the author of the Prima Gadim. Okay. And he says the following. He says, Zomamo al tofek mashachoshev shehu yorum sela li'olam. Ukfisha matzinush in itztar Yaakov al shara b'chalomo kol ha'umos olim v'yord v'edom ole v'lo ra yiridoso. In other words, basically, what Yaakov Avinu was worried about, based on the dream that we read about just 3 days ago, the malachim are going up and down the ladder, and each malach represents a different nation of the world, and the malach that represents the nation of Edom goes up and didn't come down again. And that's indicative of a very long exile Jewish exile under the dominion of Edom. And it seems that Yaakov Avinu was afraid that maybe since the Malach of Esav didn't come down, then maybe it means that Yorum Sela, that what this Yorum Sela is, which Yaakov is saying, Al Tafek, mean don't let that happen, is Li'ola. Maybe it'll be for all eternity. And then it says in the Pasuk, Zomamo Al Tafek, and the Rosh Yosef says that the word Zomamo here is Machshavto, his plans, his thing. Kevin Shekvar Omer Pasuk Al Tite Mavoye Rosha, Hare Shekivain Bimilas Zomamo Miloshen Chasima. In other words, the Rosh Yosef wants to suggest that Rabbi Yitzchak here in his drasha wants to make a difference here. It seems like the pasuk is sort of repeating itself. It says in the Reish Al Titein Hashem Mavaye Rasha, which sounds like don't let him achieve his dreams, his goals to destroy Israel. And then at the end of the pasuk it says Al Tofek Yerumo Sela. I'm sorry, I made a mistake here. At the end of the pasuk it says. Yeah. It says Zomamo Al Tafek. Al Tafek. So what's Zomamo Al Tafek seems to be a repetition. So what's Zomamo Al Tafek? So he says that Zomamo Al Tafek is a different word. Zomamo here means Chasima. That's what Rashi says. You see the word Rashi, he says the word Chasima. Chasima means to sort of muzzle him, meaning don't let him achieve his goal. And this is somehow a symbolic reference of the descendants of Esav, which is called Garmamio, which is otherwise known as Amalek. Now what fascinates me here, maybe you have a comment here, I don't know, it says that if these Amalekis go out to battle, they'll destroy the entire world. Which it sounds like we're talking not just about the Jewish people, that they want to conquer the entire world. And once again, if we're talking about Germany, let's say, for example, in the not so far distant past, you know, they wanted to really conquer the entire world. Now at this point, so let me just see, do you have any comment here? I just wanted to see. No, he just says they would destroy the entire world. He doesn't. Oh, look at this. How do you like that? I didn't cheat. He says the Gra amends the word Germania because we have Germania, and he says Germania. He has, instead of the second mem, he has a nun. And this is a reference to Germany. How do you like that? Aren't you impressed with my erudite scholarship?
I'm impressed.
Yaakov Emden also calls
it. Yaakov Emden, right.
Calls it German.
So now we want to know if the prayer of Yaakov Avinu of Zomo Al Tofek, Yerumu Sela, actually came to fruition. In other words, Is it true that the Bnei Edom and Romy and so forth were so toru, they get so caught up in all their challenges, their internal challenges, that they didn't have a chance to be panuit, you know, to be free to battle against Israel? So that's where the Gemara quotes Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Plas mea ketire toga. Okay. Now, we're talking about a ketire toga. How do you translate ketire toga? Rashi seems to skip this. So I'll read to you what he writes here in the Hebrew on ketite. Maybe I'll borrow this, Jerry, if you don't mind. All right, so let me wish you a good day. Okay, thanks. When do we get together again?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Wednesday. You're good for tomorrow. Okay, so have a great day. Okay, Bezrat Hashem. B'li neder, as we say, right? And he says that Ketire Toga are crowned princes. Okay? And we're talking about 300 crowned princes. Wow. 300 crowned princes. In Hebrew, it's called duchsin. Princes are called duchsin. Ika Begermamia Shel Edom. These are the 300 princes that'll come from this Germania of Edom. Utlosmia Vishishim Vechamshin Marazve. Okay, we're talking now about Rome now. And there'll be 365, he writes in the footnote, in the name of the Marashah, Kaminyan Yemos HaShana. We're talking about, because the Romans count according to the solar calendar, so they have 365 days. And each one of these princes will have his day, so to speak, to rule the world. And B'chol Yoma Nafki Hani Liapi Hani. So there were 300 crown princes in Germania, and now there were 365 chiefs in Rome. And every day one group goes forward to battle against the other one. Right? One of them is killed. And then they have to replace, you know, the leader, the ruler that was killed, and find a replacement. So it's very interesting that this preoccupation with, you know, appointing new leaders is going to prevent them from going forth and fulfilling their desire to destroy Israel and maybe to destroy the entire world, as we said before. So this is kind of the zmama that we spoke about before, you know, the muzzle that holds them back, because they're so busy killing each other, thank God, that they're not killing us. Fi Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, and another statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. Im Yomer Lecha Adam Yogati V'lo Motzasi Al Tamin, Motzasi Lo Yogati Motzasi Al Tamin, Yogati Motzasi Tamin. So if he says that I worked very hard in Torah and I couldn't discover the Pshat, don't believe him. If he works hard enough, he'll figure it out. It must be that he didn't work hard enough. There was no Yigiyah. If he says I know the Torah without Yigiyah, you know, it just fell into my lap, into my brain, so don't believe that either. There's no such thing as Torah without Yigiyah. But if he says Yagati Matsasi, then you can believe him. Now, this statement, at least in its literary style, is similar to what we said before about Kesari and Yerushalayim. You know, if somebody will say that both are this or both are that, don't believe him. Unless one is this and one is that, then you could believe him. Now, the word Matsasi here, which is repeated how many times? Three times over. Lo Matsasi, 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 etc. is a little bit of a strange phrase, because we're talking about Yigiyah, right? So it's, for example, he says Yagati Umatsasi, right? So, well, what do you mean Matsasi? Matsasi means you found something without Yigiyah. So what does it mean? It's almost like a contradiction in terms to say Yagati Umatsasi. So there's a number of different interpretations on this, but the most famous of which is that even after all your Yigiyah, don't think that you'll come up with it on your own. It's going to come like a Metziah. It's going to sort of like fall into your. It's a gift from Hashem. Okay. Now, what that means is, take a look at Rashi. I'm trying to find the Rashi here. Okay, so he's quoting a Rashi. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's here. Just 1 second. Give me a second. Ah, okay. So Rashi is actually coming up around the bend. So now the Gemara offers an embellishment of Rav Yitzchak's statement. It says following: Hani Mili. Let's not assume this is always the case, that if he was Yagati, he'll be Matsasi. It's not an absolute guarantee. He says Yigiyah Bavada Yimtza. That's not an all-inclusive rule, but rather it's a rule that applies specifically to Divrei Torah. Avol B'Masu Matan, don't think that just because of your Yigiyah, you know, you did all the work and you went to undergraduate, graduate school, you took, you know, you went to the best business school, and therefore you know how to invest and everything else, that guarantees you success. But rather, no, it's Siata Hu Min Shemaya. You could do all the Yigiyah, but at the end you need mitzia. It's got to come to you. It's got to sort of fall into your lap through divine providence. Vigam, I guess you'd say, vigam l'divrei Torah, lo amoron, these principles don't apply eluchidude as far as pilpul is concerned. You need to analyze and to understand. That depends upon yigir. Avla ukmi girsa, but to remember what you learned, it's memory, and you shouldn't forget it. That's siyata min shamayi. That also depends upon divine assistance. Even if you put in all your gear, that doesn't guarantee it. Now he has a comment here from the Ein Yaakov that what about achieving success in the memorization of Torah without effort? And it sounds like even with regard to remembering Torah, effort is absolutely crucial. He's not just saying that, you know, you can you'll get the divine gift of remembering Torah just like this, you know, without, you know, like a snap of the fingers. You'll only get divine siyat nishmai remembering the Torah if he puts in the effort that he's required to put in. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak also said the following: Imra Isa Rosh Hashashah Mesacheches Lo. If you'll see that the Rosh is successful in everything he does, that's called Hashashah Mesacheches Lo. He translates that as enjoying good fortune. Okay, but literally it means the hours, so to speak, happy, smiling at him. Altis Garibo, don't start out with such a person. Means Hashem now is on his side, so to speak, and granting him some sort of a temporary success. Shenemar, where does Rabbi Yitzchak learn this from? How does he derive it? And he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim again: Al tischar b'mareim, al tischoteit im reshoim shemarim shemarim maaseihem. Don't start up with don't shepherd with them. Don't contend with them, he says. Okay, fine. V'lo od, and furthermore, now this whole sugya that we're about to learn now appears elsewhere as well in Masechta Brachos on Daf Zayin of Beis. But there the sugya begins with a statement of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, and he says mutul iskaras b'rishon b'olam hazeh, that we can contend against the rishon. And the Gemara asks a stira from Rav Yitzchak, who says ein l'iskaras b'rishon, and the answer is that it all depends whether it's shah misacheches lo or not. Let's go on in Rav Yitzchak. The elish edrachov matzlichim, that the ways of the Rasha, in other words, all his investments and so forth, will be successful. Shenemar, the pasuk says, again, we're going back to Tehillim, and it says, Yachilu drachov b'chol eis, morom mishpatecha, etc. And the pasuk seems to imply that will have a constant hatzlocha b'chol eis. So the Marsha says, "Bevada yein hatzlochos elufisha." Right? It's only a temporary thing, because the pasuk says, "Ki kechatzir mehera yimlu." So eventually, it's going to wither away. The od ma'at v'ein resha, the pasuk says, but what it means is that the mazel of this hour is gorim lo latzliach. That's what it means of this hour. So it doesn't mean b'chol ace, it means this ace, you know, at this particular ace. So we have to read it like this: Yachilu drachu b'chol ace, shebechol ace shemazolo matzliach yatzliach yatzlichu drachov. V'lo od, and this is not only about the people themselves, these evildoers who have temporary success, Ela Shezoche Bedin, that their mazel could cause them that there be Zoche Bedin. Okay, so we have to figure out what this means, Zoche Bedin. Shenema Moro Mishpatecha Minegdo. Mishpatech is called Marom. In other words, it's above, it's lifted above. So now we have to figure out again what Zocha Bedin means. Velo Odin, furthermore, Ela She Roe Besonov, that he'll be Matzliach against his enemies. Shenemar called Sorov Yafiach Bahem. Let's just see how we would translate this Zocha Bedin. Din is a reference to the courts. And Marom Mishpatecho Minegdo means your judgments are far removed from him. In other words, a judgment of justice is far removed from him because he's going to win in court. And not only that, he'll witness the downfall of his enemies. So he has here in the Masifta a reference to the Ibn Ezra in Tehillim. And the Ibn Ezra in Tehillim says the following, that this pasuk, which says altischar b'mereim, right, that's a parallel to what we said altisgaribon, right, that's what Rabbi Yitzchok said. And he quotes Rabbeinu Sajigo that Yachilu Drachav B'chol Eis, Yachilu is Lashon Aschol, and it means Shebechol Pam Maschil in Yono Michadash Ukilu Mishpatecha Marom Minegdo Mesulakim Mimenu. It's almost that every time he begins some sort of an enterprise, he's successful because Hashem Mesachek Eslo. And he says Al Yidei Atzlachoso Yatim Dvarav Ledayonim Viyitu Latzdiko. That's because he's so full of himself and he's so successful, and God is smiling at him at this moment. He's going to put forth in front of the courts a false argument, a claim, and he will somehow fool the judges. Now, nevertheless, the pasuk still says Moro Mishpatecha Minegdo. So he says, even though it doesn't seem like justice is being meted out, but God is the God of justice, and it could be that the other person that's being defeated, he has worse sins, and that's it. Now I'm looking at the clock, and I see it's pretty late, so we'll stop, even though we're more or less in the middle of this Gemara, but we'll just review what we said before, and then we'll go on to the next Gemara.